Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show.
Blah, 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 blah.
We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Good day to you. I am Frankie Picasso, your host for the Good Radio Network, and I thank you for joining us today. And if you are listening to us on February the 26th at 1 p.m. actually, Eastern Standard Time, then you are listening to the live version of the show. So I invite you to join in the conversation if you like and call us at 845-241-9943. Again, it's 845-241-9943. And hit number 1 on your dial pad so that you get put into the host queue, and we'd be more than happy to speak with you. If you joined us last week, you will remember that my guest, Julian Hanford, the artist from Britain, is creating an epic art installation he calls Fall. And it consists of 6 million dominoes that will stand for the 6 days to represent the 6 years of World War II. And he's doing it this year, which is the 70th year anniversary of the end of World War II. And in order for this event to take place, he needs to raise £1.5 million. And today is the kickoff event for Fall. So Julian is one of our Good Radio Core Network project partners. So I invite you to go to iTunes or Amazon.com today and please download your copy of 13-year-old Aurelia's version of Mad World. All the money goes to this important project. We never want this history to repeat itself, and I'm very excited about the beginning of his project taking off. Today, I am very pleased to welcome you to the team members from HOOP, Helping Overcome Obstacles Peru. This international NGO works primarily in Flor Tristan, a shanty town on the outskirts of Arequipa, Peru, to provide education and other programs that are destined to end the cycle of poverty in the next generation. Let's hope so. Today with me are several members of the team. I'm going to start with Sheng Zhu Li. Li is one of the original founders for HOOP, and we're very excited to have him with us today. He's a medical doctor from Taiwan who is now living in Seattle, Washington. He attends the University of Washington in the Master's Program for Public Health. He's involved in global humanitarian work and emergency preparedness team in Seattle. Welcome, Li. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thank you, Frankie.
I'm really excited to talk to you and find out how and why you founded this amazing charity. How did you get involved with it?
Sure. Well, I was a medical doctor in Taiwan, as you said, but I kind of feel like I want to do something internationally. I want to be an international volunteer, so get more involved in global health area. So I quit my job in 2010 and just traveled to Peru. And then I found this lovely place, this small communities. And then, so at the beginning, just 4 of us, just only 4 volunteers and 20 kids. So it's just like an after-school program. So we didn't have any curriculum. We didn't have any structure. So we just play with the kids, taught them a little bit of English. And after one year, and we start think like this place should be like more organized and then need more like proactive organization to make everything better. Mm-hmm. So we start this NGO, we start this like whole NGO legislation process in 2011. And so until 2012, I think it's May, and HOOP was born, yeah.
So you've really grown in leaps and bounds since you started the organization. Do you feel like a proud papa?
well, yeah, we saw this. Yeah, I think so. You can say that. But the most thing is, like, we just love that place. Like, we really, really enjoy, we really, really like our time spending there with the children and the community. And then we really think that that place and the, all this effort and the school needs a better management, a better way to manage it. So that's the reason we started this.
You know, I was watching the videos, and people can go to YouTube and look for HOOP, H-O-O-P, Peru, and you'll see a number of videos there. All of the people on the video, all the volunteers from around the world, they were from Australia, they were from France, they were from Austria, they were all different places. They all said the same thing, that it seems to be a really magical place. They love it. They want to stay. They want to come back. What is it, do you think, that makes this place different from any other place that you've been to in the world?
Well, this is the thing. At the beginning, like the volunteers, they have their own concern. Like, oh, we don't have, I didn't have any experience with the kids. I didn't speak Spanish. And then they will send us a couple emails about their concern before they came to Peru. And then we just told them, don't worry, our kids are lovely. And this place was great. And then once they joined us, and that's true, it just magically happened that everybody loves this place. The children are polite, and then we did a pretty good job, and we have curriculum, and the 5 kids do their work, and then they contributed to the community, and then the community give them a really positive feedback. And every month you're staying there, then you realize that they take you as a family, and then they will just make you feel very, very great. And then you realize you can do something there, and then kids love you, and then you love them. It just naturally happened. I don't know how to explain this. It's just great.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Arequipa right now. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring on Allison. Allison is the program director. Welcome, Allison. She's originally from New Jersey. And now she is your program director and project manager, I should say. And she's been very busy creating strong partnerships within the community in Arequipa. And welcome, Allison Schmier. How are you?
Good. How are you, Frankie? Thanks for having us.
I'm excellent. Oh, I'm really, really, really thrilled to have you. And I'm so glad that I found you. Allison, you've been in Peru for how long now?
Oh, my gosh. 2.5 years.
Did you know that you were going to go there and stay that long?
No, I had no idea this was all going to happen. But that's kind of what's really wonderful and miraculous is that things kind of work themselves out and you get to be where you're supposed to be.
So how did you make your way there?
I actually came originally to teach English, and so I worked at a university for a little bit. And then I found HOOP, and I started volunteering. And then within a month, they started hiring, so I applied, and it just kind of worked out.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Lee. What is it that's so magical about Flora Tristan? What is it that
makes
you
want to be there?
Ooh, sorry. Go ahead.
I would say our
partnership.
Oh,
just take a breath. It's okay.
Sorry, Frankie.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Our partnership with the community, because we've been there around the community since 2008. And at the beginning, it took a long time for them to trust us, for them to kind of feel comfortable, know that we've been there for so they really feel comfortable like telling us their needs and what they're interested in and what they want to learn. So we've definitely developed more of a community partnership and understanding the community we're working with, and there's a lot of trust. So that's what is the best part about HOOP, I think.
And so when these volunteers come, where do they stay? I'm assuming
right now,
there's not a big hotel there.
Yeah, Arequipa is a really big city. There's lots of accommodation here. Right now, our volunteers stay at our volunteer hostel, and they seem to enjoy it. They get free breakfast in the morning.
And then they make their – now they're paying to be there, correct?
Yes, yes, they are paying. We are a small organization. We are just two full-time staff and two part-time staff.
Okay.
Everybody else, we're fully run by volunteers, to be honest.
Well, I know that you are extremely organized, and you have really made it very easy for me to bring you guys on the show, and I really appreciate that. And there's a lot of there's a lot more than just education going on with HOOP. And I know that you shared some of, you know, the notable achievements this year. And so I found you, I believe, on Twitter. And so that was one of the social media marketing achievements, I think, that you were successful with this year, getting on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of those wonderful social media platforms.
Yeah, definitely. We've improved our performance on different social media platforms throughout the whole year. And that's partly thanks to our Director of Development and Communications, Tom, who you spoke with earlier.
Right.
He does a great job.
Yeah. I understand that there's been, correct me if I'm wrong, about 300 so far volunteers come through since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had 300 people from all over the world kind of come and volunteer with us.
And how long do most people come and stay for?
We have a minimum of 2 months, just because we really encourage our volunteers to have a very genuine relationship with our community members. So the longer you stay, the more you get out of it.
And Lee, did you speak Spanish when you first went to Arequipa?
Just a few, like numbers and basic conversation.
Okay. And do both of you, are both of you fluent now in Spanish?
Yeah. I guess you can now.
That's awesome. How long did it take?
Half a year.
Allison?
Half a year.
Yeah?
Yeah, for you? How long did it take you?
Oh, it's forever. You're always working on it, to be fair. But, yeah, it's difficult to learn another language, but it's very exciting at the same time.
So do you have a program set up for your volunteers to learn Spanish?
We actually have an in-house Spanish teacher who is available if they're interested. So, yeah, kind of. It's not very formal, though.
So do the kids speak English?
No, the kids we work with, I mean, they have basic English, and that's primarily because of us. The local public school does not have any English classes in Primaria, in the first, in elementary school. So we kind of are the substitute for that. We give free English classes to the children, and we've been told that the kids that attend our program have the highest level in the local school when they get to their secondary school.
Wow, that's awesome. Good for you. Is John there?
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, John. John Vecchio.
Hi,
I'm great, volunteer teacher from New York, upstate New York. And you joined HOOP in December, I think? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and how are you finding Arequipa?
Pardon?
I said, how are you finding it there?
Oh, it's very good. I actually, I taught previously at a school, also in Arequipa, but to be honest, I like it a lot more teaching at HOOP. It's a lot more relaxed. The kids are much more enthusiastic to learn English, whereas the other school I taught at, it was also a good learning experience, but the kids didn't really have that drive that they do in Flora Tristan.
The kids really, through the videos that I've seen, they seem to really love all of you so much. It must be very rewarding to feel that, the love for them.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Even now that the school is temporarily closed, the kids still stop by and, I don't know, kind of check out, see what's going on, even though I guarantee you back home in the U.S., once school is closed, kids don't want to be anywhere near school. So
that is true. That is true.
So
it's closed because why? You're going through the construction?
Correct. Yeah. I think
I saw a video of you demolishing. Were you demolishing a building?
Yeah, I am.
And what thank you. And you're demolishing it for what reason?
So we got, Hoop got a donation to build a new school that would be able to house more students than we can now. So instead of paying someone to demolish the school, I decided to demolish the school myself.
That's awesome. And so is this an anonymous donation, or can we thank the donor publicly? Lee or Allison?
No, yeah, we can thank her. Actually, Lee would know.
Sorry?
Is Lee there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Michelle? Who is the donor?
Michelle?
Oh, the donor is a Taiwanese construction company in Lima. Because all this program started like in 2012, and then as the hooks grow, our students and our like community member grow as well, so that more and more students come to our school, so we don't have enough capacity to like for the volunteers and the students, so we have this kind of idea like trying to rebuild our school in 2012. And then by that time, so I kind of contact with Chinese embassy in Lima and also the construction company there. So this one lady, she's the president of the construction company, says, oh, we can cover all this expenses of construction, everything.
Nice.
So she's going to help us building all a new school. It's a 3-floor school. That was amazing. Like, yeah.
That is amazing. What would you think the cost of that is in U.S. dollars?
Allison, do you have the budget there?
Yeah, it's about $200,000.
Wow, that's a great donation. That's amazing. And is your school set up that the kids would go, like, structured in that they go 5 days a week, John? Or how is it set up?
Yeah, it's 5 days a week, and there's an English lesson, and followed by either homework help. So if the students need any help with English, we'll help them. Or there's also kind of like a recess. So kids play soccer, they play basketball, they jump rope. So, and all this is with the volunteers.
So are they going to a regular school during the day and then coming to you like an after-school program? Or
yes.
Is there a whole? Oh, okay. So there, do they have to pay to go to school in Arequipa?
No, it's a local public school.
The public school is pretty cheap. It's only like $500 or $50. So it'll be like $20 to $50 a year.
Okay. So, but every family has to pay that per child to go. Okay.
Yes, like $20 something.
Okay. Well, and when you're only making a couple hundred dollars a month, that's quite a bit of money if you have a number of children.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And my understanding is that many of the families, whether they're single or moms or whatever, a lot of them haven't gone past, let's say, primary school. They didn't finish a high school or even get to high school. Is that correct?
Based on our survey, we did survey every year. So for the last survey we did, the majority parents, I would say 30% of our parents only finished primary school, and then 20% of the parents finished high school, and another 20% finished the primary school but didn't finish the high school.
Okay.
Something like this, yeah. So I would say 70%, yeah.
Okay. I want to bring Christian on. Christian Colossus. Is that, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Pardon?
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
It's Colossus.
Colossus. Okay, perfect. So you are a local. You're from Arequipa. And you also attended Hoop, did you, when you were a child?
I didn't hear that really good.
When you were younger, did you go to hoop as a student?
I actually joined hoop last year, and I first started as a translator because they need there were dentists or doctors coming to Arequipa, and they didn't speak Spanish. So I was translating the ideas, and I translated the ideas from the doctors to the kids. But in September, and since August, I started going to school, and it is a really good experience.
And you are from Arequipa, is that correct? You were born there?
Yeah, I'm from here.
Interesting.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So this is your home city. Were you aware of Flora Tristan before? Did you ever think to, what made you go and volunteer with hoop?
Just first, I want my community to improve because I want the kids to have the path. So I started volunteering because they also, Hoop says that there's just one way to break poverty, and it's through education.
Right.
So that reminds me a lot of what I'm doing.
So you're currently going to university?
Yeah, I'm studying international business at a local university here.
Okay. And I understand that in Peru, the country has the second or the third lowest education standard in the world. How do you feel about that?
It feels bad because you realize that people, they're talented people here, but they don't have the right, they don't have enough resources to go to university or to study a career. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I also joined hoop, because there are kids that are really smart, but their parents can't afford for a school or for university.
How much is it to go to university there?
Here in Arequipa, university should be $200 per month.
Okay. So very,
There are also public universities, but you need to take some courses first to apply there.
So a very, very small percentage of children from Flora Tristan would be able to go to, would ever make it to university without this help. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Amina. Bonjour, are you there?
Yes. Bonjour, hello there.
you were originally from Algeria and your family migrated to France, and now you find yourself as a project coordinator intern in Peru.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So how are you enjoying that?
It's really interesting because I split my time between film work and office work, so it's very interesting. So far.
And so what are you doing in the field?
Currently we are doing interviews. So we are trying to census the population, and we're also doing some questionnaires, what they're expecting from us, what they want to learn, things like that.
Okay. And what did you do in France?
In France? I'm in the second year of a master's degree in languages for business, in English and Spanish. Yeah,
perfect. So it's helping your Spanish for sure.
Yeah, it's okay, but we are doing a lot of writing and reading, so I can practice here, which is good.
Yeah. Do you think that you'll stay or come back?
Sorry.
Would you stay or come back to Peru when you leave?
Oh,
you think?
Of course I will. I would like to see how it will be in 2 years. So for the moment, I'm going to stay 5 months, but for sure, I'm going to come back.
Thank you so much. Lee, what would you say was your biggest success story so far?
I think over two. One, I think I like the community starting to engage with us. Mm-hmm. Like, because at the beginning, the community kind of feel like, you guys came here, you guys live, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. But now we kind of change the community little by little, and then we start to let them know that this organization will be here forever with you. And then this is your community. You live here. Then you should kind of stand up for your community. What do you want for this place that you live? And what do you want for children's education? What do you want for your health? What do you want for this community development? So now we have our community group that work with Hoop, and they will say, oh, this is what I want. This is what we don't want to do. And then we kind of talk to each other, and then we work for community together. That's what I want to do. I don't want an NGO or charity keep giving things to the community, and the community as a receiver and just take the things from the organization outside, from the external resource. I want we all work together and then communicate to each other, and then try to make this community better. I think that's really important for a community-based organization and the community as well. And the second one is Hoop. We build up an NGO, and then everything's legal. We're trying to make everything in the correct way, and then we use we do research, and then we use statistics. We do survey to our community. We do a lot of the things that. We're only a small NGO, but we do a lot of great and solid project as we can. And I think that's one of our achievements. So I like this too.
That's awesome. Thank you. And Tom, you're the Director of Communications and Development, so kudos to you for a job well done because I found you.
Hi. Yes.
And so how did you find your way to this little town?
So I was working in England for about 6 years in public relations for a public relations agency. And then it was very sort of corporate and commercial, and I wanted to move into the charitable sector. So I looked for internship opportunities. I just wanted to get some experience, really. I never thought I'd actually have any chance of getting a job in communications straight away. Although I've got the experience, I didn't have any experience in the charitable sector. So anyway, I got an internship here at Hoop. I came over, and then the person who was in my role previously, about a week after I arrived, she got a job at the United Nations, which was really exciting. So she works at the UN in Ghana now, and then I basically applied for her job and then got the job, and I've been working here since, which is about since the beginning of this year. So I'm just in my second month.
Oh wow! So how are you finding it?
Yeah, it's
culture
great.
Shock or, you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good. I used to be sort of a relatively junior member of a team back in England, and now I'm kind of in charge of communications. So it's much more. I can do things the way I want to do them. There's kind of no boundaries on what we can do. If we want to do a campaign focusing on something, we can. If we want to change the way we do our social media, we can do that. If we want to do something, a completely crazy fundraising idea, we could do that as well. So it's kind of it's really exciting.
Free for all, whoever wants to jump in is free to do so. Coming from, let's say, a volunteer perspective, if there are anybody listening and they're thinking about becoming a volunteer, they're worried about the cultural differences, the food, the housing. What has that been like? What would you typically eat on a given day? Anybody?
Generally here, there's usually lunch is the kind of big meal. So for lunch, it's usually for, I guess, American dollars, it's less than $2 is usually a you get a soup and with noodles, potatoes, and then you get a rice dish, which also usually has noodles and potatoes too.
Okay.
So a lot of starch, a lot of carbs.
That's a typical
Peruvians eat a lot.
What did you say, Tom? They eat what?
The Peruvians eat a lot. Yeah.
They eat a lot?
Is that fair, Christian?
Yeah. Because we also have, like, the best food ever.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
What's the national dish, Christian? What's your national dish?
National dish.
Well, I don't know if you heard about it. It's called ceviche. It's with fish.
Fish?
Have you heard about it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ceviche is so bad.
With lemon or lime with a... And it cooks the fish, right?
Yeah.
It's raw fish, but it cooks in the citrus.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Okay. And then do you guys prepare your own meals? Do you have a kitchen where you're living or do you go out and eat?
Yeah, so at the moment a lot of the volunteers are staying in a hostel which has a kitchen and often we'll cook together. So we might all cook something and eat together one night, or there's a lot of places you can go and eat, and there's quite a lot of variety as well. So there's a lot of traditional Peruvian places, but you could also go out and get pizza, pasta, or whatever you want, really. Yeah.
How large a city is Arequipa?
It's about 1 million people.
Okay.
Yeah, if you say greater Arequipa area, it's about 1 million people living.
So you could go and have Thai food or international, whatever you like.
Thai food, not so much. Anything else?
Yeah.
I think there's one sushi place, but that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So food's not a problem. You're all well fed. You're okay with that.
I mean, it's a big cosmopolitan city. There's a lot of people from all kinds of backgrounds here. So actually, in the city center, you wouldn't think that there's any kind of poverty here. But then when you go to the outskirts and you see the paved roads and there's no sewer systems, and then suddenly the houses are small and there's lots of families sharing just one room, and then suddenly that's where you see the problems in Arequipa. But actually,
so
in the city center, as a person living here, it's really great to live.
Okay, so health is obviously an issue for these people. They have no electricity or running water. So what is the biggest problem, Lee? Is it like dysentery, or what would be the biggest problem that you're facing health-wise?
The biggest problem? I think it's the water and sanitation. Because in that area, they only have a public water system. They don't have a private one, so you kind of have to use a big bucket to carry water from public to your home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't have a sewage system. And then, so basically just use, dig a hole or something. So I think and then we did some kind of survey before. So the water system does affect the children's health and then their stomach problem, blah, blah, blah. So, I will say sanitation, water, is one of the biggest problems there.
Okay. That
yeah.
makes sense. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And what about for the volunteers? Are they having any problems? Any of you experienced any stomach problems or since you arrived?
I think it's quite common for our volunteers to get a bit of a stomach bug when they arrive, but not everybody. Some people are more sensitive to, say, the water than others, and some people have to be more careful than others, but I mean, so I'm fairly relaxed. I'll brush my teeth with the water from the tap, and I'm fine, but some people might not do that.
Okay. Did anybody else that I'm talking to get sick when they arrived? And if so, how long does it normally last?
Yeah, I was fine, but someone that was staying in my hostel, he was sick for, he said, about 3 months.
Wow.
I don't think it was like vicious. It wasn't like a vicious illness, but it was just like, I guess his stomach wasn't right for 3 months. I guess we can say that's a safe way to put it.
Now, Hoopsie, this is get me, I'm not sure if this is right, but it looks like you have Hoop Peru, but it looks like you also have Hoop in other places now. Are these just satellite fundraising places? Or did I get that wrong?
We have basically, because we have such a big network from all over the world, we've kind of set up different Hoop organizations. So there's Hoop Austria, because one of our founders is from Austria.
Okay.
And actually, so that allows us to do a lot of fundraising in Austria, because we're registered there as a charity. We've got a bank account in Austria, and it makes fundraising a lot easier, especially because you can the money you can raise in Europe or North America goes a lot further than money we can raise here.
Right.
And we're also trying to get registered in the UK as well as a charity there. And then again, that'll just open up a whole new avenue of fundraising for us. And then also it's kind of for our volunteers to stay in touch. We've got volunteers from different countries. So we've got Hoop Taiwan is one of our Facebook groups. And we get a lot of Taiwanese volunteers through our connection with Lee.
Right.
And then that just means everybody can stay in touch, and everybody who's from Taiwan can stay in touch. And if they want to get together and do something, or if they wanted to fundraise together, it's just so everyone can kind of still be a part of Hoop wherever they're from and stay connected to us long into the future.
I noticed going through this report that there's a lot of eye and dental problems. And what would be the reason for that? Is that more than other places, or is it just that that's what shows up? Lee?
I think, Lee, do you know why?
Say that again.
Problems or dental problems
might
be an issue.
I just noticed in the report that there's a lot of eye and dental problems. Those are the major problems that show up in the children.
You mean the dental problems?
Yeah, it says that most prominent problems with the students are fever, dental, eye problems, stomach pain, and anemia.
Oh, the dental problem, it's not just children, because based on our survey, like the whole family have this problem. Because if your parents don't have this habit of cleaning your teeth every day, then they won't teach their children that you have to clean your teeth. So once the family has this kind of issues, their kids have a dental problem as well. So this kind of created like that.
Do they eat a lot of sugar there?
Sugar? All kids like sugar and sweets.
No, I know all kids like sugar, but I'm just wondering, is that part of your diet there? Is that, like, I don't know much about Peruvian food, so I didn't know, do they eat?
Their food diet is like, they are pretty focused on, like, carbohydrate. They ate a lot of carbohydrate over there. About nutrition there, so the parents were trying to feed their children more carbohydrate, like potatoes, rice, and that
fills you up.
But not a balanced diet. Like, they only eat a little vegetables, fruit. So this kind of imbalance, so the children might have some kind of obesity issues or like imbalanced balance, bad stomach, blah, blah, so on. So
I see.
So we run some kind of nutrition workshop trying to teach them how to eat healthier.
Okay. Allison, I'm going to introduce you to two of my former guests. One is the Tooth Fairy. And she she goes around the world, and I think she's distributed, oh gosh, I can't remember how many millions of toothbrushes to children.
Wow.
And the other is I think I did introduce you to Mauricio Lanyadas, who has the Junto Shoe Project, and he is working in Ecuador right now with children to give education packages to them through the sale of his shoes. So I'm going to introduce you to those two because they're pretty cool, and definitely doing similar work around the world, and might be a good partner for you. Yeah, that'd
thank
be
you.
Nice.
That's amazing.
You're very
thanks,
welcome.
Frankie.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything they want to say? Just anything that came up for you that you want to share? with people who are thinking about joining or parents? So what about safety?
Yeah, passionately tell everybody why Hoop's the best place to volunteer.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general we're a really small organization. Like Lee said, we're doing a lot with very few resources. And that's partly kind of being in Peru, working with a low-resource community. And like I said before, we have a wonderful partnership with our community. They're very, very comfortable telling us what they need, answering our surveys, and we have created such a good partnership with them. And there's so much trust that when you come to Hoop, you're immediately part of a family within the volunteers. And then when you go up to the school, the community really, they accept you, and they're very open, and they really want to know where you're from. So it's a really interesting interchange of information, like where people are from, and it's just a really nice experience in general, because you kind of hear your global perspective, and you meet people from all over the world, and you also really give back to a community in need.
How much money would you need to come with as a volunteer to be comfortable?
To be comfortable, around $600 for a month.
For a month? Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about safety? I mean, like you said that you come into, you start to notice the difference, you know, from the city into Fortress, into a shanty town. Are there any gangs or any problems like guns, or is there anything to worry about? Are you worried about anything?
No, there's no guns really in Arequipa. The biggest thing is it's actually a very safe city, especially in the city center. But when you are going out to the outskirts, the biggest thing is probably getting items stolen on the buses. It gets quite crowded, and people are very, very sneaky. So that's happened to myself twice.
Oh, no.
And that's kind of how things are. But as far, nothing ever has really happened to any of our volunteers while they've been here. There is a little bit of a concern about taxis. Sometimes there are kind of fake taxis that kind of they'll kind of take you wherever they want and ask you for money and things like that. But if you stick to the really safe taxis, then you're really safe. So it kind of depends on your street smarts, and we definitely give an induction to all of our volunteers to explain any of the risks that there are, anything that, you know, might be not safe to do. So we're very, very clear about that. It's a very big part of us. And also all of our volunteers leave the project before dark, just as a part of being safe. And everyone leaves together and goes together.
Oh, that's nice. What about, I know you're focused on education and health and the welfare of everybody in that community and helping to ensure that they break that cycle of poverty. Are there any artisans or any way to help, you know, people with some talent to reach the rest of the world? Is there anything like that going on?
There's quite a big, there's a community of people who do sell their own handicrafts and stuff in the city center. It's a big tourist city, so there are opportunities for people to kind of be a bit entrepreneurial and turn their skill into a bit of money. And that's something we're looking at doing. So with a lot of the parents, we've run business and finance courses, and we run a specific project to try and educate them how to run a business, how to market their business, what kind of resources they might need to think about. It's definitely something that there is a big market for it, I think. So it's an opportunity that we're always looking into.
So, John, as far as teaching goes, teaching English, because it is a city where tourists come to, it's very important, I guess, that they learn English and be able to communicate with those folks who are coming to visit. Because most people speak, although Spanish is supposed to be, like, I think the world's most affluent language. I think most of the world speaks Spanish, which surprises me. But what would you hope for? Do you help entrepreneurial, you know, in an entrepreneurial way when you teach adults? Do you talk about the kinds of businesses they could get into? Anything like that?
Well, the parents, the mothers, actually have their own English classes.
Okay.
And they have some kind of some finance courses, some like personal business and finance classes taught by us. So obviously tourism is big here, so like becoming a tour guide is always an option if students become pretty close to fluent in English. So.
Okay. What other things, Allison? You've been there a while. What other jobs might they look at doing to bring some money in for their family?
I would say the most lucrative job here is with the mine. There's a local mine here that most people are really want a job with because they're very well known and they pay very well. But to get those jobs, you definitely need English because all of the bosses are from North America. So
well, what
if
they
you have English, they're mining copper and beryllium.
Oh, okay.
So minerals.
And so that would be a great. They would actually do physical labor, or was there something else that they could do for the mine, the women?
It depends. If you have studied math and you've gone into engineering, a lot of people study engineering here. So actually, at a very young age, they push math, very complicated math, onto children. So we've actually been looking into how to create a better program incorporating more math for this year in order to give them a better opportunity to understand so they don't fall behind in their classes. And with this, they're able, if they do really well and they want to pursue an engineering job, which is actually very difficult, and they have English on top of that, they're very, very well off. They'll be able to get a secure job and be able to feel comfortable and provide for their family.
Is there has there been a superstar yet emerge from Hoop, one of the kids or a parent?
I would say right now, our president of our Mothers Association is amazing. She just kind of leads us, and she's very open. She has lots of ideas for our organization. She's very, very helpful, and she's been kind of guiding us in the right way, where we didn't really have that partnership before. So she's been really great, and we've kind of empowered her to be more of a leader by asking her questions about what she wants from us and kind of creating more of a dialogue and conversation with her via the community. When it comes to children, we did graduate one of our Vincidor scholarship girls. She graduated this past year from Vincidor, our scholarship program, and she is, her name's Elizabeth, and she did a great job. She loves English. We are very proud of her.
Nice. That's great. I mean, it has to make all of you feel really proud to be a part of that organization when you actually start to see the successes that are happening. Amina, when you go around and do your interviews, what is, let's say, is there one thing that many, many people ask you for, hope that you'll be able to bring?
Yeah, most of them just ask us to open the new school. Like, they're very excited about it, very enthusiastic, and even afraid that we are not building a new school. So that's the most common demand.
What's the estimated time on that school? When do you think that'll be finished? Or when will it even start?
We hope for August or September, but we're going to rent a space so that we can just teach English from April.
Right. And what's the weather like right now? Is it warm?
Actually, February is the rainy month here, so it's raining on the afternoon, but it's okay. Not cold.
So they can't meet outside in a park or anything like that? Is it the small group? I noticed that you put them into in the classes that you've got animal classes, like kangaroos and parrots and different kinds of monkeys, and this indicates their level?
Yeah, so it goes from the smallest to the biggest. So butterfly is our youngest class, and leopard is the king. So.
And how are the teenagers to teach? How are they like a typical U.S. teenager, or are they different somehow? Kristen, you were one of those.
Yeah.
Kristen, what's it like being a teenager?
Was it like teaching a teenager?
Kristen's not a teenager anymore, but not so long ago.
Yeah, that's why I asked him. What's it like to teach the teenagers there? Are they responsive? Do they give you lip? What's it like? Do they recognize the opportunity?
At the beginning, I was teaching the youngest class, which is Firefly. You really notice that the kids want to learn, even if they don't have like the right resources, because some of the kids, some of them just like don't go to regular school. They just go to in Butterfly classes, we teach them like things like in Spanish and also in English, so they can learn both languages.
Okay, and the money raised for Hoop, does it all of the money goes to Hoop, or do you ever help to pay children that can't afford regular school to go to school?
Yes, so part of our program is a scholarship program.
Okay.
And that's one of the students that Ali was just mentioning, Elizabeth. She's one of our scholarship students. So a big part of our program budget is actually funding these scholarship students, and we have a sort of selection process. And I think, have we got three at the moment, Ali? We've got two scholarship students at the moment, and we fund for them to go to a sort of, it's a private school, but it's still a kind of modestly priced private school. And that's most Peruvian parents would try and send their kids to a private school, even if it's a really cheap private school. And then people who can't afford private school, they go to the public school. But yeah, part of our funding does go to those scholarships.
Okay, because I think maybe I heard him incorrectly, but Christian said that some kids don't go to school at all. They only come to Hoop. And Hoop is what, an hour, couple hours a day learning English, but
yeah,
it's not regular school, right? Did I understand that correctly, or no?
It might be that some parents aren't as active as they should be, and maybe they're not getting their kids to go to school every day, to the actual government-run school. And then we're obviously just providing an extra service for free in the afternoon.
What is the average family size as far as children go?
About four children, and usually a mother and ideally a father, but usually the father works at an illegal mine outside, about 3 hours outside of Arequipa. So the father figure is not very there. They're not there. So when they come back for leave, they kind of check out. They want to relax. They've been doing manual labor. So it's basically, we work a lot more with the mothers because they're more interested in education and they value education a little bit more. And they're the ones that kind of want to see a different life for their children. So they're the ones that are really keen. And they also, a lot of them are house moms. So it's really interesting. But when we do have a couple of fathers that are really involved. They help us fix things. One, his name is Gregorio, who is helping John demolish the school, which is really great. So it's really great to see how active they are.
Anybody can jump in. What would your dream be for Hoop?
Well, I think that the overall – oh, is this for Lee? I'm going to answer first, then Lee can take over. So it would be for Hoop to not be really needed anymore. So that would be the ultimate goal, is that Hoop does such a great job that we don't actually need to be here because we reach our goal of lifting everybody out of poverty and giving everyone the opportunities that they should have.
Nice. Lee?
Yeah, I'm thinking – my idea, I think would be just like the whole community aware that development is really important for them, and then they all stand up and work with us, and then we find a way that how this community and the Hoop can live together and this big family, as a big family, and then trying to resolve all the questions, all the problems that we have in the, no matter it's health issues or education or environment or like people can, people live there can, or stand up with us and then find a good way to resolve everything, every problem we have. And yeah.
So you have a working model. You have a model that seems to be working. You have a model that seems to be working.
Yes.
Do you ever intend to go anywhere else, any other country or any other place to help?
Well, for me personal, I don't have any like parents. Like I think for me personal, I think it's better if we can focus on this place first and do as best as we can. Then we think about other things. I want to do this good. I want to work with the first and good. Perfect.
Right.
After
right.
that, we think about So
okay.
I think we just think here first.
Any last word? We got about a few minutes left here.
I mean, I would say it was lucky for me that I stumbled upon HOOP, but we've had really amazing volunteers and interns from all over the world that have contributed so much. There's something, because we're so small here, we definitely appreciate everyone's opinions. So it's not like you're entering an organization that's like, do this, do that. We always kind of want to have a kind of community thinking, like whatever, share your thoughts. What do you think will work best? We can change this. We can improve this. So that's what I really thought was really interesting about HOOP is when I first started, they would ask me like, what do you want to change? And so it's so nice to be a part of an organization that's willing to kind of grow with you and exchange ideas and that isn't exactly set in their ways as we are still growing. So we appreciate all different kinds of input. So it's really nice.
Is the average age of your volunteer like in their 20s?
Yeah, I would say it's like 23, 24 average.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
and
we've
the
had
older
volunteers of 60. Yeah, we've had a few and they've been incredible. They're amazing teachers.
Awesome. Okay. John, your dream, your goal for HOOP?
I'd say, I guess more of a short-term goal would be actually get kids to be able to, if they can get shipped into a university or if we're kind of just teaching them not only English, but the importance of education. I think if that kind of sticks with them, then I think we've done our job.
Yeah, that's a great goal. That's great. Amina?
For me, it will be to see all those kids going to high school, then university, then graduate and secure their future. And why not helping the community then?
Yeah, good goal. Christian?
My long-term goal would be like to the kids see them like when they're 20 that they have good education and they're professional so they can get better their lives.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. We've been talking to the members of HOOP, Help Overcome Obstacles Peru. And we've come to the end of our show. And just thank you so much for joining me today and for letting everybody
Thanks
know about
lot.
Your special organization. Take care.
Thanks a lot. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.